Fight!
Welcome once again to New Game Plus. You're listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this is episode 85, and it is a glorious Patreon pool.
85!
And Patreon pool!
I know.
Absolutely love these episodes.
There's something about every fifth episode where you just get to that like significant feeling number that always feels good. 85
means
we're coming up on 100. Like that's a lot of podcasting.
Yeah, we're only like, what is that, 10 away?
Yeah, like 10.
Patreon pools are every 5 episodes or so. We don't keep it rigid. We keep some flexibility within there where our beloved patrons put in their suggestions. They have up to 2 suggestions each. And then we randomly select from that selection instead of from our entire Retro Master list. So we had some great games on this last week.
Man.
I was sure we were going to play Ocarina of Time.
There was 3 of them in there. They tripled up, and I was...
There's 3 Ocarina?
3, and I had my hopes way too high.
I'm glad we didn't. For a couple reasons, but partly Ocarina of Time is just, like, huge
massive
amount of content,
yeah,
and it would have been a rough week for that, but we ended up with a little bit of a gem.
Yeah, for sure. And so we're going to be talking about this game here in just a little bit.
But first off, Dustin is back.
That's true. You gotta tell
From
us how Paris was.
Paris. Yeah.
Yeah. So wife and I was in Paris, and Kenny, Nolan, you guys did an incredible job on the episode last week.
Thank you.
Absolutely no need for me.
You're right. You know what?
Let's cut you out of here.
Get out of here.
No, we are in Paris celebrating our 5-year anniversary. It was wonderful. There's so much to see, so much to do. Okay, you two know my wife, and so this is no surprise to you, but she thematically planned each day based on various points in French history.
And I bet she had that planned 2 years ago.
So, listen. One day, we traced Marie Antoinette's royal life, and then the next day, we journeyed from her prison to the guillotine where she lost her head, and then to her burial site. So,
oh my gosh. Day in the life.
Yeah, so that's the kind of setup that our week was. But Paris was absolutely beautiful. It is not overrated. There's so much to do, so much to see. Like literally and figuratively, we were turning around corners and there would be something new, like historical or beautiful or just a whole different kind of lifestyle there.
I'm a little jealous. Like, haven't ever gotten to travel to Europe. Have gotten to do lots of travel here in the States, but haven't ever done the overseas thing. And was definitely glad to hear that you guys enjoyed yourselves. And you shared some pictures for those who hung out in Discord. Little glimpses into the real life of your favorite podcasters is one more reason to join us there throughout the week.
But outside of that, it was a beautiful city. You know, the Seine River, it runs right through it. And so there's many times we're standing on a bridge just watching all these ships come by. And those ships were, however, nautical. The ships in our retro game of the week are high up in space.
Welcome back.
In our retro game of the week.
And now we know Dustin's back because... I'll be honest, you're a little bit off your segue game. I think Europe wasn't good for you.
Join us as we talk about the game Tyrion.
That was a rough one.
Overview.
So, Tyrion is a PC game. It was developed by World Tree Games, formerly called Eclipse. And before we talk about the game itself, I kind of want to highlight the developers here. So Eclipse was made up of a team of about 11 people worked on this game. So not big. That's not big. And there were three main guys that kind of led that team to where Tyrion ended up. And that's Daniel Cook, who is responsible for the art, and Jason Emery did the programming. He's also the founder of Eclipse, World Tree, whatever. And then Alexander Brandon, who's the composer and the writer for this game. So they kind of led this really small team into this game that is open source. The art
now
is even open source. It's licensed under an open source policy. So like it's just made available for people. And I love games like that. I love open source stuff.
To be fair, they went back and did that later. with the game.
True.
Like, it didn't start that way. It was what? It was Epic Games, right, that, like, published it?
Epic Games published it in 1995, and later it was made freeware in 2004.
Somebody remind Dustin in Discord, because he's going to forget when I tell him this, but Epic Games had one of my favorite childhood games that we have to add to the Retro Master list, and reading about them this week reminded me. We have got to put Jazz Jackrabbit on that
list.
Never
mind.
Great title.
That was not what I thought you were going to say.
That doesn't sound good.
I spent so many hours of my childhood playing Jazz Jackrabbit, you don't even know.
Yeah. Don't remind me.
Yeah, the game's made available now. In fact, you can actually get a version called Tyrion 2000, which is free on GOG. The other game, the original, is also free. You can play it. So you should have had no trouble getting a hold of this game this week. Okay, so into the game itself. It's a scrolling shooter. You play the role of a pilot named Trent Hawkins. And there's a little story here. So it's set in the future, and you have a partner who's this lizard man, a race called the Hasudra.
Nailed
and
it.
He dies, his partner dies, and there's like this conspiracy. There's this like mineral that's like this precious resource that this evil group doesn't want to get out because it lets them control gravity, and you have to stop them. So you get the ship, and you start shooting baddies. It's an arcade feel to it, and it's an arcade game, I guess. I mean, it wasn't on a cabinet.
Absolutely.
But you play top down.
It's a style of game.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's arcade style. So you're.
Well, they've
you're,
even got arcade mode. So
true. Yeah. So you've got the full story mode, which you go through with plot lines, and the gameplay is a little different. And then you have your arcade mode, which is what it sounds like, as if you would just play through levels, try to get high scores. You pick up weapons instead of buying them. So you've got a lot of options. There's also two player. Basically, it's a top down view of your ship, and you get upgraded weapons, and you upgrade your ship, and you shoot enemies that come onto the screen. And that's very straightforward gameplay, because that's what it is. Not to say that that's boring or anything, we'll get into that, but that's the basis of what the game is.
Most of us that spent any kind of time in an arcade growing up played a vertical scrolling shooter, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, those were many, and there were many different kinds. I mean, for everything from Space Invaders to mine were like 1942, 1943.
It was those
kind of war themed games. I had never heard of Tyrion in my entire life.
Same.
No.
Well,
that's the difference between it being an arcade style game and it being an arcade game. You're not going to go out and see this in a cabinet. It was released, you know, for PC on DOS. Unless you were playing those specific kinds of games specifically in that era, it'd be a really easy one to miss on your radar.
I agree. If you weren't PC gaming in 95, like playing Diablo and some of the older like multiplayer PC games, then you would have missed it, I think.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a possibility. And maybe that was a good thing, maybe it wasn't. And by the end of this podcast, you'll find out.
Gameplay.
So in this game, you've got the arcade and you've got the full game. And the full game is your story mode that Nolan, you've talked about, which, pause, we're playing a shmup, a scrolling shooter game, mm-hmm. with jets, spaceships, and there's a story.
Yeah,
like, don't let that escape you.
It is, and it's super neat that they put it in. But I also,
I
don't know, I was almost on the other extreme. As Nolan was describing the game, he was giving lots of the storyline as if that's what drives the game, and it's there, but at least initially, you have to kind of dig for it. Like, some of the initial story is, like, stuck in those data cubes, and you got to take the time to go through and read them. The further you go, the more sort of forced the story is, and it actually does little, like, screen breaks where it walks you through stuff, and you start to feel a little bit more immersed. But, and I'm with you, Dustin. I love that there's story put on top of a genre that wouldn't necessarily need it. But it wasn't, like, overbearing or what really drove it. This was still, the appeal here is classic shooting stuff.
There are some games that would just give you some lame thing at the beginning and then just leave it at that.
That's true.
I feel like Gunstar Heroes kind of did that, but That's a bad example.
There's games that will set up the scene in like a little text scroll screen at the beginning of the game, and then really not come back to it. Just kind of set the tone. This is you're regularly coming back to it, and I don't want to skip over some of the gameplay elements that Kenny just mentioned. By destroying certain ships in the stage, you get data cubes, very missable, and those at the end of that stage, you can read them, and some of them inconsequential, just gives you some details of something, but some of them very story-based, story-driven, and then as Kenny said, it kind of opens up and kind of pushes you through a certain narrative later on. But it is lots of reading, which is great because you don't have to read it and you still get great gameplay.
Yeah.
But if you do read it, and for those that like story like me, it blows your mind because there is another level, there is another layer to a regular type of genre that typically doesn't have narrative. Yeah. And this one, it's got a deep one.
It gives you at least a little bit of that like emotional appeal beyond the sort of just click fast, adrenaline, lots of moving stuff sort of appeal. That's the main drive of a game like this.
Yeah, but they had a writer, and Brandon was the writer for it, so like it wasn't just like we should put a little story here. They actually meant to do.
They didn't
a lot,
tag it on. You know? I agree. I think it's definitely worth highlighting. But the point is, we get to shoot stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah. And it is that typical like chaos on a screen.
Absolutely.
You not letting go of the shooting button.
Right.
although you might need to in this game. Sorry, I've got to pause.
Yeah.
Because there's so many layers here that are not in 1942, 1943, and I hate to keep comparing it to that, but that's my connection to these kind of shooting games. You might have to let go of the shooting button because you've only got so much energy in your tank, in your generator, that you will have to let that recharge before you can be effective at shooting again.
Yeah,
I think it's a great mechanic.
Why don't we give people an overview of like all those mechanics and then talk a little bit about how they interact, because it's pretty
complex.
There's
too much.
Yeah, there's a lot. So this game has customization like out the wazoo. You can not only choose and unlock, and based on how you're leveling and what you're shooting, you actually will unlock some things or not unlock other things. But you not only get to choose the type of ship that you have, but you get to choose your upgrades on your shield, on your generator, which is recharging your shield and powering up your weapons, and how quickly that happens, on guns at the front of your ship, guns at the back of your ship, bonus
Size.
Guns that are like attached to the side of your ship. And each of those guns can be further customized with a certain amount of power level and like different types of shoot patterns. So you have like rear guns that can shoot behind you or to the sides, but then they can be focused in front of you. Some of that can be changed real time. Most of that has to be changed between each level. But it gives you this strategy of level to level, depending, you may want different kinds of setup based on what that level needs. You can upgrade or downgrade weapons as you find you need more energy or less energy, or more survivability or less survivability. You can really focus on just like focus firing and really killing stuff quickly, or you can just go crazy, spread out, all sorts of AoE. You have choices upon choices in how to customize your experience with Tyrion.
And it gives a game in this genre so much replayability, where usually that's not there. If you beat the game, you get your high score that you're happy with, whatever. There's different playthroughs that you could potentially do based off your choices, which gives like that gives me.
And then complexity beyond that too, like the routes you take during the game. You have options as to which direction you go, a little bit like Star Fox.
That's what I was going to say.
No, there's some lineup there. I think Star Fox stole from Tyrion a little bit. Like, you see,
yeah,
I could see it. You've got secret levels that you're trying to unlock that give you tons of ability to have extra points to earn, but are, you know, can some of them be sort of challenging? You've got certain ships and weapons that you're only unlocking in certain levels or in certain secret levels. And so tons and tons and tons of replayability. Nolan wasn't kidding.
Okay, so there's two different ways. So in arcade mode, it's not the store that you go to at the end of a stage and then you spend your points, your cash to upgrade. It's in the arcade game, as you're destroying things, upgrade bubbles are falling the different down weapons that you collect.
In real time.
Which is cool because you can upgrade rapidly and often, and then you've also, Kenny, you didn't mention, you kind of did, but you can press another button which switches your weapon mode.
Right.
If you've got that capability. Some weapons don't. So you can shoot lasers off from the side, and that same one can have a second function that will stop shooting there and then shoot like vertically. So there's so much. Like, seriously, there are definitely hundreds of combinations between ship design.
I think Matt would say even more than that. Easily thousands. Yeah. I mean, depending on if you're talking every single detail.
Yeah.
You know, power level that you choose. You know, it's just now shield, not all of those are feasible, because at least in the non-arcade mode, in the full story mode, you are purchasing those upgrades. So there is some strategy there. If you're taking one thing off, you're putting one thing on.
Yeah.
How well you perform in each level gets you more money and points. And so it's a little bit of a snowball kind of effect. I found that once I learned the game better and was doing better on the earlier levels and then getting better upgrades, I was much more able to progress further and continue that process. And so it's a little bit punishing there in that you really have to excel to really excel. But again, just like layers of complexity in terms of strategy and even just what's fun for you.
And you know what I appreciated about the whole upgrade process, and at least in story mode?
What did you appreciate?
Is that you can, when you're in the shop, it will show you the preview of what that upgrade's going to do on your weapons, which was great, because otherwise you had no idea. But that's such a nice touch that is really necessary to keep you on pace with what you're wanting to do with your ship. So like,
and you want me to tell you what I appreciate?
Yes.
I appreciate that they don't punish you for trying out different combinations.
Right.
One of the most beautiful things. I am so conservative in this that I just won't spend money until I get to like this max thing that I'm going for. In this, you've got your money that you don't necessarily lose. You can just spend up to that amount, and then when you change upgrades, then it reduces back to
you get your money back for selling something or taking something off. And so
there's no punishment.
Right. So as you're getting money, you're unlocking your sort of overall potential, but any kind of mix within that potential, you can change and customize between each level, between how you're feeling on a whim. There's some exceptions there, you know, some bonus levels, you're like locked into however your ship was at the end of a level prior and whatever else. But generally speaking, you've just got tons and tons of freedom.
Here's one other thing that I loved, that you don't die in one hit. A lot of
most of the time.
You're not supposed to. I mean, I guess if you fall into a claw or if a
there's just way too much for that.
You can, but you've got shields and armor to protect you from dying. And then the game is very kind to you in that if your armor is low, it will send a ship that if you destroy that will give you some more armor. So you don't usually die with one hit. You can keep, and then if you do die, when you do die, because you will die, I mean, there's so many bullets and chaos happening on the screen, you keep playing in this story mode. You don't just you just go back to the start of that stage and you try it again infinite amount of times.
Great.
It's just so necessary for this genre, because I've always wanted that, and each one that I've played, which I like this genre a lot, but it's always punishing, because if you fail, it's going to throw you back to the beginning or make you start over. But
And
some people would argue that makes the game too easy if you have this kind of progression, but I think it's so good.
No, there's still difficulty. Like, you still got to get through each level. And so strategizing about your ship and weapon and everything, part of that is how the design happened too, because not being an arcade game, the point isn't fish for quarters. The point is you already own this game. Or you're, in the case of their release, you know, you already on the first level in shareware and they want you to have fun and get addicted and then buy the rest of the game. And so the focus on this game is just having a blast. I feel like every design decision about this game was just about having fun. Like, I felt like they, as developers, they were just like, what can we do to make this crazy enjoyable?
Not to mention, there is a saving feature, both manual and automatic. So they just want you to keep playing, want you to have fun, and there's endless amounts of replayability because of the different combinations of upgrades, as well as the different planets that you can go to, the bonus stages, the collectibles. So much going on, so much that makes it not just your typical vertical shooter, but provides so much depth between story and upgrades and everything else that makes it a truly unique experience.
Aged.
Before we get into anything about this, the age graphics, let's talk graphics. They are impeccable. They're so good. They're some of the best graphics I've ever seen in any genre.
Beautiful. The artwork is bright, the artwork is consistent, and the artwork is just overall fun to look at.
And it's layered. Like, there's depth to it. Like, you've got like the ground, and if you're in space, you have like ships that you're going over, like giant motherships, and then like another layer level of like pipes, and then your
or clouds and platforms. Yeah,
absolutely. It does help that we're playing re-released later versions that gave you some functionality in terms of, you know, upscaling to you know, a more palatable size and interface, but the look of the game still, I completely agree, is absolutely beautiful. And I'm with you guys. The thing that totally stuck out for me, and I think this is actually the stuff, if my reading online was correct, that they were developing initially that sort of birthed the rest of the game, and that was that multi-layered movement in space. You know, sometimes you'll get that and have like one or two layers. But in this case, you had like three or four layers of stuff moving, and backgrounds and foreground, and all moving at different paces. And it, for the time, gave a pretty stinking good faux, you know, interaction with the space you were in.
And not just like a typical backdrop, like a video game backdrop, like details, like just pixel art. You have to see it. I mean, we can't describe it well enough. You have to go look at them. They're really, really
And it's not
good.
Only that, but when the story begins to unfold, there are various what you could maybe call cutscenes that are artistically created in their own right. And then the characters that are presented and giving you the data cubes, mm-hmm. they have a figure.
Their
and
own
so there's
artwork,
this dark cloaked figure that is against you. Just so much. Here's what it is, guys, and maybe I should have saved this for summary, but I don't care at this point. You can tell that love is put into this game.
Yeah.
So there's other games that are quality because there's a big team on it and they're working hard for the money, whatever, but you don't get the heart there. You see in every aspect of the game, including the artwork and the soundtrack, which we'll do next, that there is massive amounts of heart that is put into this.
Absolutely.
And a team of 11, you know, like they wanted to make a really good game, because if you're working with that size of a team and you're like okay with making it open, you love your game and you wanted to make something good, and that doesn't happen anymore.
All right, I realize I'm going a little bit out of order here, and that we probably should have hit this when we were talking gameplay, but we've been so excited talking about this game and sharing that we just straight passed over it. In games like this, where there's weapons and customization and choices and unlockables, I think it's always fun to hear favorite setup. What did you guys enjoy? Which weapons did you upgrade? What worked for you? What didn't? What was the most fun? Like how did you guys Tyrion?
Yeah, that's fair. Without going to a reference chart of the different kind of upgrades, I know that for my rear cannons, I liked those seeker missiles just because I didn't have to, that they would go and find the enemies. And then for my primary gun, I like something centralized, not spread, so that I can have more direct focus fire. And so that showed itself in various abilities, but the lightning gun ended up being one that I used mm-hmm. primarily. And then also you've got a left...
Your sidekick.
Sidekick.
Yeah,
your
left sidekick.
Right, your left sidekick, your right sidekick, which you can use different buttons to shoot through those, and you have a limited amount of ammo for them. Although some of the things that you can purchase are kind of auto done as well, so I preferred the auto for those.
I went with like the Megapulse series, I guess. The green everything green, like the green waves. I don't know the names of them, but I had those as my front. I had the Mento ship as my sidekick. And there would be no way of me being able to tell you every single upgrade without looking at it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But my main setup was like the triangular green formation of like the wavy missiles. I didn't really go for heavy side stuff. I kind of just kept it in front of me.
What about you, Kenny?
I jumped all around. Like, I loved the customization, and so I would try different things every level. But I was with you, Dustin. I tended to, like, focusing as much as I could right in front of my ship. I wanted stronger single-target damage, and I didn't tend to go nearly as much AoE. Yeah. And that manifested itself a lot of ways. I did love that the, like, sidekick weapons had some with limited ammo, where you could really burst things down in a moment when you needed to. And so I think the mega missiles, even though you only had a few at a time, I sported those a whole bunch. And besides that, you know, moved around on all the normal weapons. But I think the default one and just upgrading it a lot tended to be my go-to.
Before we complete this section and move on to our final analysis, Nolan, what'd you think of the soundtrack?
The soundtrack is on par with the graphics. So you heard me freak out about the stupid graphics. The music is crazy. The music's crazy. The game came out in 95, and it's a shoot 'em up. It's a scrolling shooter that has just a awesome soundtrack.
It does.
And we didn't get to hear it in its natural habitat with those early sound cards. So that changes it a little bit. But still, with this, you've got a different song per planet. You've got your main kind of song that you come back to at a certain. But on the upgrade screen that you'll hear regularly, which is cool because that changes later on when you kind of. I mean, it's very story driven, narrative driven. Because once you complete a huge mission, later on in the story, that song, that primary song, changes to a more happy kind of feel before things get dark again.
Yeah. The variety was so welcomed, and the upgraded sound or whatever in the GOG version, the Tyrian 2000, sounds great too. I'd love to hear the original, but like, come on, it's so good. It's such a quality soundtrack. So like the peripherals of, besides the gameplay itself, was just, it made the gameplay and the experience better.
It does have that older retro kind of vibe. You know, it definitely feels like you're playing an old game in terms of the sound that it's delivered. But the quality is totally there and it's really enjoyable.
There is the original Tyrian. It became freeware in 2004. It became shareware soon after that. It was re-released as Tyrian 2000 with an additional episode and some additional ships. And then finally, Open Tyrian came about in 2007. Many ways to play it. Many ways to play it still today. And because of it being open, you can play it on so many different formats.
The final shell shock.
So at the end of each and every one of our episodes, we come to this question, which is not going to be much of a surprise to you. We don't have to try to stir up drama where there is no drama. But do you give this game your vote for New Game Plus status? It's our general thumbs up or thumbs down. Do we suggest you go find a copy and play it, which would be fairly easy this week? It needs 2/3 of the votes to swing one way or the other. I'll just start and give this analogy. Right now, there's kind of a resurgence in board games, and I'm on that trend, really enjoying it. So you've got classic board games versus designer board games. And with classic board games, you've got good games. You've got Monopoly, you've got Snakes and Ladders. Yeah, they're fine. They're fine. But then in this new resurgence, you've got these designer board games, which is just a whole new world of gaming and a whole new depth and a whole new love that is put into and that is palpable in these games. And Tyrian is a boutique kind of game that isn't one of these classics in the same nature, but is one of these designer heartfelt Catan or Dominion type games that is so creative, so beautiful, so much depth, and is such an unknown in my book, Jim, that you have got to find and play a copy of. You hear us in this episode, and if this is the first episode you've listened to, you might think that we always freak out like this or we're always talking so highly about a game as we go through, and this is very, very rare. But I definitely give this game my vote for New Game Plus status.
here's the deal. The backhanded knock on Monopoly makes me not love the analogy, but it stands.
Monopoly sucks. Can you just
No, it's one of the better games ever. But no, I love playing some of the more modern stuff too. That being said, you're right, and I totally realize it. Though there was a point early on in my playing when I didn't necessarily think that this was going to get New Game Plus from me. I had a couple of issues getting it set up well to work with DOSBox, and had some even just technical difficulties where inputs weren't working correctly and it was making everything hard to navigate. The first couple of levels before I really figured out the whole upgrade system, I was struggling to even like beat levels and get used to the interface, and it felt too difficult and not a lot of fun. But once I got past those, once I straightened things out technically and started to really figure out how gameplay was and get a good playthrough rolling and get upgrades going and all of those things, this game became just an absolute blast. It's one of those games that the more I played it, the more fun I had. The story moves on, the weapons get cooler and bigger, the challenges continue to be a little bit unique, and you're seeing more bonus content, and you're getting more into the music, and the more you play it, the more you love it, and that's a huge sign of a good game for me. And so New Game Plus status for me as well.
Nolan, wrap it up.
Yep. I love disagreeing with Kenny, but I can't in this case. We didn't even talk about the bosses. There's boss fights in this game at the end of some stages, and they're hard, or at least they were for me.
But they've got patterns
that you can learn them in classic gaming format. You try again until you get it, and they're fun bosses, and they're well designed. Again, the graphics enhance each boss, gives them a unique feel. They have different guns, different patterns. That added another layer onto this game that impressed me. So I give it a game plus. Everything you guys said, easy.
Yeah, so Tyrion gets our thumbs up. Very easy to play. I didn't even run through DOSBox. With Open Tyrion, you've got a download and run the executable, and you're in the game. So find a copy, play it this week. You will not regret it. We did receive some emails and commentary from our viewers this week. A lot of our friends, our patrons, sent in their thoughts, because this is just a game we've been talking about, and it is a Patreon pull after all.
Cool.
So ladies first, Jessica wrote in, and she said, since I put in this week's game in the Patreon pull, I figured I better write in. I was pretty surprised when it got picked. I didn't know anything about the game, but I wish I had known about it in 95. So just pause. Some of our patrons this week, you remember they opened up one of their submissions. They had two submissions.
Yep.
One of their submissions to people that weren't necessarily patrons or not at that level, at least. And Jan, I believe, submitted this game
correct
through Jessica, and it got picked.
Love that teamwork.
Yeah. So she said she didn't know anything about the game. Wish she had known about it in 95. This is an incredible game. I've always been interested in shmups, but thought them intimidating. A fun personal challenge I set for myself every week is, what is the easiest way for somebody interested in retro gaming to play along, even if they don't have the retro tech, without just resorting to emulation? It turns out, since this game is open source, it is very easy to access. I played on my smartphone all week, and touch controls were easier to use than I anticipated. Ultimately, I think Tyrion deserves more than a week. It's Friday night, and I started playing on Monday and have barely scratched the surface. Definitely New Game Plus for me.
Nice. Yeah, there's some perks of hanging around Discord. Even if you're not a patron, you might get your game picked.
Might get your game picked, and on top of that, almost every single week, the guys are finding the easiest and best way to play the retro game of the week. Yeah. And so like they just link it in there. Nolan, you tag it, and I just go to the I just go to the pin and play it.
Yeah, it's
we've got great listeners.
It's worth pointing out just how great our listeners are. They went a little bit above and beyond this week, and we had one of our listeners actually go out of his way and get in touch with some of the developers of this game, just because he was interested in their backstory. And so Antonin got to share some of his experiences in talking to one of the initial developers, just kind of something he went and did as he was interested, and shared some of that. And Daniel Cook, I got that name right, came and hung out in the Discord a little bit, the guy that did all the original graphics this week. And so Daniel, if you end up listening to this episode, thanks for hanging out with us and answering some of our questions. And it was a great insight into a great game.
Yeah, you mentioned Antonin. Let's hear from him now. He said, okay, so guys, what a game, right? I had so much fun with this game back when it came out, and I've come back to it a bunch of times since then, and I had just as much fun today. The graphics were beautiful, even without modern filters. The game had a pretty neat story, and the game play was flawless. I don't know if any of you did this, but I actually read the data cubes between missions. Customizing your ship and using collected points from each level was a great idea too, since I actually had a pretty good incentive to collect points other than bragging rights. I also enjoyed the fact that each shop had different weapons and equipment, so you kind of had to snag an item you wanted right away and possibly down level other items in order to afford them. This was my favorite part. Hope you all loved it as much as I did. I really, really enjoy when we play DOS games on NGP because of these hidden gems. Also, can we just all appreciate the fact that the artist designer for the game showed up in our Discord, and the fact that I got a hold of the programmer and got him to answer a bunch of questions for us? I love me some ego.
Yeah, we already shouted you out, Antonin.
No, that's really, it's really, really awesome though, especially with a game this impressive, at least visually. And he points out something that I love too, is that it makes you be good when you're going through the stage. Like you need credits, and so you can't just be like, well, let me just try and get through this level. You gotta work for it.
Yeah, good incentive to really play hard.
There is a game that I played on N64. I think that's the only console it's on. That is this type of game that I loved, and I don't remember the name of it, but please someone tell me the name of it. It's a top-down shooter like this, and it needs to be on the list.
We'll find out the name. We'll submit it to our Retro Master list. Please. We also heard from Nathan this week. He emailed us at ngppodcast@gmail.com, said, shoot 'em ups aren't really my genre, but there were a couple things about Tyrion that I thought were pretty well done. By the standards of the day, the graphics were pretty good. Even though the level design was in principle extremely basic, there was a lot of complexity. Visually, a lot of stuff going on in the levels, both in terms of background, which I think had a couple different layers, and also the platforms and enemies. The things that impressed me most, though, were weapon designs. There were, of course, several different weapons, which is pretty standard for the genre. What is less common is that each of the different weapons can be leveled up repeatedly with results that are specific to that particular weapon, both graphically and also in terms of how the weapon behaves.
Yeah, so cool.
I think that's what's great. Like, you don't have to worry about level design in this genre. That's why visuals are so important. So Daniel delivered and made you feel like you had a level design, you know?
There were a few moments, and I think this genre suffers from this in general. There were a few moments in gameplay where I felt like there was too much going on, that I almost wasn't able to react as quickly as I should, and that by the time you have weapons shooting everywhere and stuff is coming at you, it's almost hard to keep track of everything going on. It can be a little bit overwhelming. I think balancing that is hard, and some of the like chaos and fun is part of what makes these great. But sometimes this game did err on the side of just a little too much. But it's a small complaint.
That's the genre.
Yeah.
That's the genre, though. I mean, that happens in each of these. Finally, we got one more email from Jan. He said, hi, guys. I think this week was my lucky week. The game I suggested to Jesse the Jet got picked, Tyrion. And if that wasn't enough, during the week, the designer for this game shows up in Discord. He answered some questions also. Really nice. If you missed it, get on the Discord channel. Shout out. You never know what happens there. I played Tyrion a lot when I was younger, but never got very far. And this week, I didn't get very far either. Still had some great fun. I'm sure you discussed the game in detail, so I'll just tell you what I liked about it most. The music is great. It makes really good use of the Sound Blaster's FM chip. I especially like the buy sell track. Hook up some good speakers and you'll have a strong bass and sweeping synths. I like how you can control the game with the mouse. This allows precision movement when bullets come flying toward you from all directions. The graphics are really cool looking. The sound is amazing. Gameplay is amazing. I think this game still holds up very well. So this game would get my vote for New Game Plus. Go get it on GOG as soon as you can. It's free. Can't wait for the next game. Will it be a Zelda game? We can only hope.
Probably not.
There's so few on our Retro Master list that it's probably not going to happen. Thank you guys for sending in your thoughts, your commentary this week. And thank you, patrons, for your support. Golly, you guys are not only... like y'all are just good people.
Absolutely.
And fun to hang out with, and fun
community.
To have conversation with. Incredible.
Absolutely.
Community, and glad that it's expanding. We welcomed a few people onto our Discord this week.
Absolutely.
As well as a new patron. Mike Wheeler became one of our new patrons, and so thank you for your support. Thank you for jumping in and joining the team, Kenny.
When we're talking about patrons, It's always worth us taking a moment and shouting out to our... I know you wanted my episode pick hype. But I had to shout out our producers.
You just realized that halfway through what you were saying.
No. I'm with you. So Zion Bradley, thanks for being producer level supporters. You make this stuff happen. And now that we got all the business out of the way, we're on to finding out.
Join us next week.
No,
as we
false,
play.
Stop. Yeah. We have the most important thing that still has to happen. We got to figure out what game we're playing this week. So our fate is in the hands of the randomizer. And so Dustin, do it up. Let us know what retro game we're playing for the next 7 days.
We are going to be playing a game on a handheld system.
Cool.
Is it Game Boy? No.
No.
Is it... What's other...
Game Gear.
Systems? No, because that is the one that it's on. It is on Game Gear.
Nice.
And it came out in 1992. And wait, what? It's a role-playing game? How does that work?
Far out.
Well, we'll find out this week in our retro game of the week called Defenders of Oasis.
Sweet.
Tight. Cool.
Never heard of it before, but excited to try it out. I'll have to find my Game Gear.
Pull it out, dust it off.
I had a Game Gear. Can I tell you what my dad did? He got rid of all my old consoles when I was a kid.
Dad.
Like in a garage sale and then tell me.
Dad.
Huge mistake.
Screw you.
Screw you, Dad. You didn't do anything for me.
Hey, so find a copy of Defenders of Oasis and play it with us this week. We'd love to talk about it with you in our Discord, as we've already mentioned multiple times on the show. We could also receive your emails and then include it as a part of our episode next week. Every Monday is when we release a brand new episode, so it's a weekly podcast. Make sure you hop on and find out all that we're doing. You can do that by joining us on social media, Facebook or Twitter, or both, at NGP Podcast. You can listen to us directly on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Music, or any other podcast provider. Subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. Visit patreon.com/NGP podcast, and maybe you can have some submissions for our next Patreon pool when that comes around here in just a few episodes. Join us next week as we play Defenders of Oasis. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm going to go back to playing some more Tyrion.
I can't wait to play Guardians of the Galaxy.
And this has been New Game Plus.